Welcome to the teaching ministry of Daybreak Community Church. They invite you to join them for worship at 10 a.m. Sunday morning at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester. More information is at dccworcester.org. Here's Pastor Richard Frazier bringing real hope to real people from Daybreak Community Church.
Good morning, my friends. I'm Pastor Richard Frazier from Daybreak Community Church in downtown Worcester. We're glad you could join us here on 104.5 The River.
Good morning, Daybreak. Last week, we looked at a sermon about, do you want to leave too, right? It was from John 6, and this is the second part of that. We're going to be in Hebrews 10, and a little bit later on, I'm going to be reading verses 23 through 25, and then 36 through 39. And the title this week is Staying Power, Why We Hold On. So last week, the sermon ended with a confession. We looked at how Jesus had fed the 5,000, then thousands of so-called disciples or perhaps fake followers walked away from Jesus. His teachings became too hard for them to hold on to the Savior. And so as we read last week in John 6, verses 67 through 69, it said, well, Jesus is talking to his 12, he says, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Now, our passage from Hebrews opens with a nod to a confession of Christ when the writer says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. So let me ask you, Daybreak, are you the holding on type? Or do you want to leave too? Do you want to walk away, turn your back to Jesus? Or do you have the staying power? Before you answer those questions, I want to look at three things. First, your salvation. If you walk away from Jesus, you walk away from eternal life. Second is the vibrancy of Daybreak Community Church. What does Pastor Rich always say? You don't go to church, you are the church. If you walk away from Daybreak, a piece of this congregation dies because you are vital to the life of it. Third, the kingdom of God suffers because Jesus established this kingdom to save sinners. If you walk away from Jesus, Satan has won the battle with you. All right, so the main point, that kind of the overarching point for today's message is this, that the truly faithful who remain obedient to God to the end will receive the blessings of eternal life. Did you catch that? The truly faithful who remain obedient to God to the end will receive the blessings of eternal life. The writer of Hebrews was dealing with Jews who were wanting to shrink back to Moses and the law. You know, the writer spent the first 9 chapters making the case for why Jesus is better, why he is superior to everything else. And the reason? So they would hold on to the faith. And so 3 kind of subpoints we're going to look at today are, we hold on because of what God has done, right? 2, we hold on together. And our third point is going to be, we hold on to the end. I was not good at math. I never made it to calculus. I have totally forgotten trigonometry. Don't ask me what the quadratic equation is. However, I can spot a winning formula when I see one. And what is that formula? Hold on. Hold on. And why do we want to hold on? We hold on because of what God has done. So let's dive into this first point here. We hold on because God has given us his son. Sin separated us from God, but the sacrifice of Jesus opened up a way for us to access God in a better way. Hebrews 10, 19 through 20 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body." Remember, when Jesus was crucified, God tore the veil from the top, thus opening up the holy of holies, so we can now enter into the most holy places because of Jesus. Jesus became the final blood sacrifice God would ever require for the atonement of sins. Hebrews 10:11 talks about how day after day the priests stood in the temple performing their duties. They repeatedly had to offer sacrifices to God. However, in verse 12, when this priest, I'm talking about Jesus, offered his sacrifice, he sat down at the right hand of God. He has paid our debt in full. As Jesus said so perfectly on the cross, "It is finished." Paul said in Romans 5:8 that God did all of this for us while we were still sinners. Now, we hold on because God has given us his Spirit. In Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14, Paul says that believers were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Pastor Rich preached a number of sermons in his series, Journey to Pentecost. It was on the day of Pentecost where Peter, preaching to those who had came to Jerusalem for the feast, told the crowd that they can receive the Holy Spirit. In his sermon in Acts 2, Peter is boldly telling them how they played a role in the crucifixion of Jesus. So when we get to Acts 2:37 through 39, this is where Peter's preaching takes a turn. Listen to verse, I'm going to pick up in verse 37. "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?'" Right? "Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.'" And guess what? We are the far off ones, right? Peter has told us, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of the sins, and we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, we hold on because God has given us his word. So we're going to look at word in two ways. First, God has given us his word, as in God has given us promises. Verse 23 in Hebrews chapter 10 tells us, "This is the reason we should hold on unswervingly to the hope we profess, because God is faithful. God made promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, and more, and God always delivered." Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ Jesus. God did not spare his son so that we can be reconciled to him and enjoy," what did I say? God did not spare his son, right? So he didn't spare Jesus. Why? So that we can be reconciled to him and enjoy the blessings of heaven. What is he going to hold back from us? What is so terrible about salvation and eternal life and the blessings of heaven that we need to walk away from Jesus? Now, the second thing is that about the word, that God has given us his word, as in the Bible, the word of God. Paul tells us in Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16, that how from infancy, Timothy, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 12, that the word of God is living and active. It continues to be the standard for our faith in practice. Take some time this week to read Hebrews 11. It's sometimes called the Faith Hall of Fame. And see how the faithful held on when pressure mounted. So part of the reason we hold on is because of what God has done for us to improve the quality of our lives as individuals. You know, that's one of the reasons I became a Christian. I had met my friend Sean at Daytona Beach Community College, got to meet him and his family, and they had a quality of life that I wanted, and I eventually gave my life to Christ. I repented, I was baptized, you know, confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So God will improve the quality of our lives of individuals. However, Christianity is not really about individual achievement. It is about community. Because of that, we don't go this road alone. So when we hold on together. Let's look at verses 24 through 25 in Hebrews chapter 10. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, I'm jumping away from my notes here from my sermon. But how many times have we heard, I don't need to go to the church building, right? I don't need to go to the church building to worship God. I can worship God from my boat out in the middle of a lake. Yes, you can. I'm not saying you can't. However, the writer of Hebrews, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. What, on the boats in the middle of the lake? But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Because we hold on together, we must take an active interest in the lives of people we worship with. The writer says, let us consider how we may spur one another. This does not happen if we come into the building, sit by ourselves, say nothing to nobody, then leave after the service. Now here in a congregation the size of Daybreak, that, forgive my French, but that ain't going to happen, right? Somebody is going to come up, talk to you, all right? But in a larger church, you can slip in and slip out. Don't need to do nothing. Just slip in, slip out. But listen, we don't earn the right to spur one another along if we fail to build a relationship with one another. We need to spur one another toward love and good deeds. So good works doesn't save us, but Paul say in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 that we are saved to do good works. We need to lift one another up. We need to help each other become more faithful believers who live out the gospel. The Lord's brother, James, tells us in his epistle in chapter 1, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Now, because we hold on together, we must continue to worship with one another. We cannot give up meeting together. We cannot forsake the assembly. How can we spur one another toward love and good deeds if we do not assemble together on the first day of the week as God has called us to do? Every day, we move closer to Jesus coming back. The writer of Hebrews wants us to continue meeting together all the more as we see the day of Jesus' return approaching. Now, Pastor Rich is fond of saying, you are not here by accident. You are not a member of Daybreak by accident. And you are not worshiping with all of us today by accident. You are not listening to us on the radio this morning by accident. It was appointed for each and every one of us to be here by God. He wants us to lift one another up for a reason. So this brings us to our final point. We hold on to the end. We hold on to the end. Hebrews 10, verses 36 through 39. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased in him, with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. We need to persevere so we will receive what God has promised. Part of that promise is eternal life. Paul effectively argues in Romans that the law cannot save us. The law points out that we are sinners in need of a Savior. In Hebrews, some Jews were wanting to go back to the law, but it has nothing to offer, the writer says. But it will point out that we do need a Savior. Salvation and eternal life come through Jesus. The message is persevere. Hold on, and receive the blessings. Now, part of that promise is eternal life, but part of that promise is a rest. In Hebrews 4, rest means more than taking a break from work. It points to sharing in the peace, the security, and the completed work of God. God rested after creation because His work was finished. In the same way, believers rest in what Christ has finished for them. We do not earn salvation through the law, through human effort, or through religious works. The writer of Hebrews calls us to persevere. We must not turn back to a system that cannot save. We keep trusting Christ to enter the rest that God has promised. Giving up now would mean abandoning the only one who can bring us home. So the writer's message is clear. Do not return to what could never save you. Hold on to Christ, because the one who began your salvation will also bring you into God's rest. We need to persevere so that we will please God. God is pleased when His people to continue to live by faith. Hebrews 10:38 says, "My righteous one will live by faith." Faith is not only how the Christian life begins, it is how the Christian life continues and ends. Perseverance shows us that we still trust God when His promises seem delayed, when obedience becomes costly, as we saw last week, and when our circumstances tempt us to turn back. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. God is not asking us to understand everything that happens. He is asking us to trust Him through everything that happens. Now, God is not pleased when someone shrinks back. To shrink back means to retreat, withdraw, or abandon the life of faith because the pressure has become too great. These people had heard the gospel, confessed Christ, endured the suffering, and identified with God's people. Now, some were considering turning away from Jesus in returning to their former way of life. Shrinking back is more than experience in doubt, fear, or weakness. Faithful people may struggle. Shrinking back means allowing that struggle to lead us away from Christ rather than toward Him. Shrinking back leads to destruction. Hebrews gives a serious warning. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. The writer does not treat abandoning Christ as a small mistake. Eternal consequences are at stake because there is no salvation apart from Jesus. Earlier, in Hebrews, the writer warned the readers not to drift away, not to harden their hearts, do not fall away, or do not deliberately continue in sin. Each warning carries the same message: do not let go of Christ. The danger begins when we stop listening, stop trusting, and stop obeying. A slow drift can become a complete departure. That is why when someone misses church, we need to reach out to them. Let them know we love them and care for them. Because if they miss and nobody recognizes that, maybe they start thinking, well, I'm really not important. Be there for others because we hold on together, right? We don't do this alone. Now, these warnings should not cause faithful believers to live in constant terror. Like, it should awaken us, correct us, and drive us back to Christ whenever we find ourselves wandering or doubting or struggling. Believing leads to salvation. Verse 39 does not end with destruction. It ends with confidence. We are of those who believe and are saved. The writer believes better things about his readers. He expects them to hear the warning, renew their faith, and continue following Jesus. Biblical faith does not merely agree with facts about Jesus. It relies on Jesus, remains with Jesus, and continues in obedience to Jesus. We do not persevere because we possess great strength. We persevere because Christ remains faithful. God's promises remain sure, and the coming reward remains worth the struggle. Amen? Perseverance does not earn salvation. It reveals a faith that continues to cling to the one who saves. Therefore, we hold on to the end. We hold on when obedience costs us something. We hold on when God remains silent. We hold on when the world pressures us to compromise. We hold on when our faith feels small because our confidence rests in Christ, not in ourselves. God takes no pleasure when we retreat, but He is pleased by our faith. So we do not turn back. We trust and obey because there's no other way, and we persevere until we receive what He has promised. The Christian life is not a brief moment of faith followed by retreat. It is a life that keeps trusting Christ. We hold on because God's promise lies ahead. God's Son stands beside us. God's Spirit dwells within us. And God is pleased when His people live by faith. On April 21st, 2026, the Boston Marathon is going on. We're at mile 26. AJ Haradas collapses just short of the finish line. He struggles to get up. He falls four times. He later said, "After falling down the fourth time, I was getting ready to crawl." Dozens of runners leave him on the ground as they run past toward the finish line. Aaron Beggs sees him and he pulls up to him. Robson de Oliveira, he was on a pace for a personal best. He had seen Haradase fall too. And he prays, he says, "God, if someone stops, I'll stop too. because he knew that he could not pick him up alone, right? Someone stopped, so he stopped. The two men link arms with Haradase and carry him across the finish line. De Oliveira was glad Beg stopped because two are stronger than one. That is Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 in action. Daybreak, will we run past the fallen or will we stop and carry them? None of us finishes alone. We hold on together because the church, the body of believers, is where the weary finds arms around them and the strength to finish. Jesus asked the 12, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." There is nothing worth walking away from Jesus for. Hold on together, hold on to the end. Amen. God bless you, and the altar is open.
I personally want to say thank you for listening to today's message. I pray that the message challenged you and blessed you. Daybreak Community Church is a non-denominational church located at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester, and Sunday morning services are at 10 a.m. in person and on 104.5 The River. It is such a blessing for me to share God's truth with you each and every week. If you'd like to donate to our ministry, you can now do that online at dccworcester.org. That's dccworcester.org. Daybreak Community Church, dccworcester.org. All gifts are completely tax exempt and most definitely appreciated. Again, thank you all for taking the time to listen today, and thank you for supporting our ministry. God bless you.